कुंज विहारी गोपी Krishna, I would like to welcome all of you to this continuation of our little seminar, The Art of Transformation. We have decided before we came here to put our lectures and all the presentations under this motto of transformation, because I think we all, as devotees of Krishna, aspire deeply for a purification of our heart and our for a type of tangible spiritual advancement, because after all, that's why most probably all of us have joined the Krishna conscious movement. So we will share with you in these sessions the findings of our scriptures, how that transformation might be possible. Now, for you as a listener to these lectures, either here in the Ljubljana temple or later online or presently in the live stream, for you as a listener, it's really important that you combine your hearing with a process called prajna. Prajna is introspective knowledge, and we will hear about this in today's verse and also in this lecture. Without this introspective knowledge, or another Sanskrit word which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur uses is well known. It comes from the Brihat Aranya Upanishad. It's mananam, the process of reflecting. Without this, my dear devotees, what you hear will be in one ear and out in the other ear. It will never be useful or fully useful for your spiritual life. So the role of prajna, or introspective knowledge, is becoming very clear when we listen to today's verse. I welcome all of you. I realize some of you can only make it to specific sessions of this seminar. I believe that it would be very useful for you to listen to all the classes one by one, starting with the first and ending with the last, because they are designed like this, as to bring you to a certain, I would say, hopefully a readiness to approach your own transformation with newfound insights. Good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Everyone.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya.
A reading this morning from the first canto, chapter 13, verse number 29.
Evam Raja Vidurena Nujena. Prajna chakshu bodhita ajamida.
Prajna chakshu bodhita ajamida.
Chitva sveshu sneha pashanda dimno.
Chitva sveshu sneha pashanda dimno.
Sakrama Bratri Sandashi Tadvad.
Sakrama Bratri Sandashi Tadvad.
Evam Raja Vidurena Nujena. Evam Raja Vidurena Nujena. Pragya Chakshu Bodhita Jamida. Chitva Svishu Sneha Pashanda Drimno.
Chitva Svishu Sneha Pashanda Drimno.
Nischakrama Patri Sandashitadva.
Nischakrama Patri Sandashitadva.
Evam Raja Vidurena Nujena. Chakshu Bodhita Ajamida.
Chakshu Bodhita Ajamida.
Chitva Svishu Sneha Pashanta Dimno.
Chitva Svishu Sneha Pashanta Dimno.
Nishakrama Bratri Sanda Shitatva.
Nishakrama Bratri Sanda Shitatva.
Thank you, please. Some other Vaishnava.
Evam Raja Vidurena Nujena.
Evam Raja Vidurena Nujena.
Pragya Chakshu Bodhita Ajamida.
Pragya Chakshu Bodhita Ajamida.
Chitva Svishu Sneha Pashanda Dimno.
Chitva Svishu Sneha Pashanda Dimno.
Chakrama Bratri Sandarshi Tadva.
Nishakrama Bratri Sandarshi Tadva.
Evam Raja Vidurena Nujena.
Evam Raja Vidurena Nujena. Pragya Chakshu Bodhita Ajamida.
Chitva Svishu Sneha Pashanda
Dimno. Nishakrama Bhati Sandashitava. Thank you. And Vaishnavi maybe? Evam Raja Vidurena Nujena. Raja Chakshu Bodhita Ajamida. Chitva Svishu Sneha Pashanda Dimno. Nishakrama Bhati Sandashitava. Evam Thus Raja King Dhritarashtra Vidurena Anujena. By his younger brother Vidura. Pragya.
Introspective knowledge.
Chakshuhu.
Eyes.
Bodhita.
Being understood.
Ajamida.
Ajamida.
Dhritarashtra, scion of the family of Ajamida. Chitva,
by breaking
Sveshu, regarding kinsmen, Snehapashan.
Snehapashan.
Strong network of affection.
Strong network of affection.
Dradhimna.
Dradhimna.
Because of steadfastness.
Because of steadfastness.
Nishakrama.
Nishakrama.
Got out.
Bratri.
Bratri.
By his brother.
Sandashita,
Sandashita,
direction to
Advā,
the path of liberation. Before we hear the text, I would like to bring you into the context. We will hear now how the highly attached and compromised, old, blind and hard of hearing King Dhritarashtra was changed in his entire perspective. His entire perspective on life was changed by the powerful preaching of a sadhu. You remember the sadhu's name? Yes, Maharaj Vidura, or Mahatma Vidura, as he's sometimes even called. And so, Vidura had made one last attempt to turn Dhritarashtra's vision, and this time it worked. Let us hear the text. I will not be able to reach my youngest listener and the parents when you see that the child is becoming awake, which is very good. Yes, very good. This means it will be a good boy, you can be proud of your child. But please take him out for the time being, because he will not be able to enjoy. So good here. Thus Maharaj Dhritarashtra, the scion of the family of Ajamida, firmly convinced by introspective knowledge, broke at once the strong network of familial affection by his resolute determination. Thus he immediately left home to set out on the path of liberation as directed by his younger brother Vidura. Does any one of you remember the direction of the in which he left? There's north, there's east, there's south, there's west. He went north. Someone said north. Yeah, this is a very familiar expression. To if you go north, that meant in old times you were leaving your materially entangled life behind. In modern language we would say you would follow your North Star. No? The understanding of doing something meaningful, purposeful is even in modern time there. So the purpose is amazing. You will hear Prabhupada talking about himself. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great preacher of the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, has stressed the importance of association with sadhus, pure devotees of the Lord. He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that even by a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can achieve all perfection. We are not ashamed to admit that this fact was experienced in our practical life. Were we not favored by His divine grace, Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, by our first meeting for a few minutes only, it would have been impossible for us to accept this mighty task of describing Srimad Bhagavatam in English. Without seeing Him at that opportune moment, we could have become a very great business magnate, but never would we have been able to walk the path of liberation and be engaged in the factual service of the Lord under instructions of His divine grace. And here is another practical example by the action of Vidura's association with Dhritarashtra. Maharaj Dhritarashtra was tightly bound in a network of material affinities related to politics, economy, and family attachment. He was firmly bound in this network. And he did everything in his power to achieve so-called success in his planned projects. But he was frustrated from the beginning to the end, so far as his material activities are concerned. Are you listening? Really? Good. So from the beginning of his life, Dhritarashtra was planning on his own, without including any higher plan, to become successful in his political projects, his economical projects, and in his, you know, family life. But he achieved only frustration from beginning to the end. And yet, despite his life of failure, he achieved the greatest of all success in self-realization by the forceful instructions of a pure devotee of the Lord, who is the typical emblem of a sadhu. The scriptures enjoin, therefore, that one should associate with sadhus only, rejecting all other kinds of association. And by doing so, one will have ample opportunity to hear the sadhus, who can cut the pieces, who can cut to pieces the bonds of illusory affection in the material world. It is a fact that the material world is a great illusion, because everything appears to be a tangible reality, but at the next moment evaporates like the dashing foam of the sea or a cloud in the sky. A cloud in the sky undoubtedly appears to be a reality because it rains. And due to rain, so many temporary green things appear. But in the ultimate issue, everything disappears. Namely, the cloud disappears, the rain disappears, and the green vegetation disappears, all in due course. So Prabhupada speaks about that if anything here in the material world is an apparent truth. It appears for a few moments to be true, but it's not an absolute truth. It doesn't stay. It's taken away by time. But the sky remains, and the varieties of sky or luminaries also remain forever. Similarly, the absolute truth, which is compared to the sky, remains eternally, and the temporary cloud-like illusion comes and goes away. Foolish living beings are attracted by the temporary cloud, but intelligent men are more concerned with the eternal sky with all its variegatedness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. My dear everyone, I know that it's sometimes not so easy in the morning class to remain attentive throughout the whole purport and collect all the jewels of philosophy, of personal revelation, like how Prabhupada told about his first meeting for a few minutes only with his guru, and so on. And we cannot even relish the beautiful expressions in the English language. So I strongly recommend you read this text on your own private reading time in your Kindle or Bhagavatam version. Good, so we also now need to get a little air into this place, because this will be hopefully an important lecture. Can we open the... I know some of you will have to suffer, but take it in a spirit of tapasya for the well-being of every one of us, and so on. This allows us to go on without the AC. I think our Ananda Prabhu has already taken care of this unhealthy invention of modern life. It's, I think, switched out. Is it true? I can still feel it, but it may be the ghost of the AC. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Saminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivashesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Satadine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Yesterday we were looking at a few triggers or things that favor our transformation. You remember when you place a piece of rock candy into a molasses of sugar cane, you know, the sticky subject, this piece of rock candy acts as a trigger so that the entire what I think it's called, the place where the molasses is kept, is making, it makes this sound and it forms into rock candy, which is very useful for cooking purposes and so on. So this one rock candy triggered it. Our transformation also is triggered by a few things we heard yesterday. For instance, when we see a wonderful example, we think, yes, I want to follow this example. Or another strong trigger is the involvement in active service. When we do active service, at the end of a day, we see Krishna consciousness different because our spiritual eyes have been awakened by the Sevan Mukhe, being inclined for seva. No? But of all the triggers transformation, there was one trigger that is most powerful. Those of you who were yesterday there, do you remember this trigger? Sadhu Sangha, yes, association with devotees. Thank you for remembering. Sadhu Sangha, or the association of devotees, Prabhupada says, Lord Chaitanya said, that even a moment's association with a pure devotee, by this one can achieve all perfection. I think you remember the verse, sadhu sanga, sava shastra koya, then lava mata, sadhu sanga, sava siddhi koya. Yes, yes, you remember. Even a small moment can trigger, and Srila Prabhupada uses for us to understand this better his own first meeting with His Divine Grace Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. As an example, he said, without seeing him at that opportune moment, opportune means favorable moment, we could have become a very great business magnate, but never would we have been able to walk the path of liberation and be engaged in the factual service of the Lord. So, yes, the same thing we see here in the life of Dhritarashtra. We had heard yesterday evening about his very, very compromised life. You know, he, all his 100 sons had been killed in the battle of Kurukshetra, and now he was living in the palace, and all his needs were provided by his arch enemies. You know, he had been highly instrumental in the war against the Pandavas. So, Vidura had been, during the battle of Kurukshetra, not present. He didn't want to see the misery. I think you remember he had gone, where had he gone? Shopping or? No. He had gone on a pilgrimage, wonderful. Where he had met Maitreya Muni, and he had cried on the pilgrimage. He was very moved because Maitreya Muni told him that Krishna had remembered him. And then Vidura heard, my dear Lord, Krishna had remembered me personally before he left the world. The Lord was thinking of me. He cried tears of ecstasy. So when he came, when the battle of Kurukshetra was over, Vidura came and gave very strong instructions to Dhritarashtra. We have heard that meeting a sadhu changes our perspective. Have you changed in your so many years in Krishna consciousness? I think a little yes, but not completely. So I will put a doubt now in your mind, which you please keep on going, keep on keeping. Why does we hear the instructions of the sadhus are the most powerful trigger for transformation, but why does it not always work? Why do we see ourselves and maybe others in the movement for Krishna consciousness who are quite some time there and who hear every morning the Bhagavatam, who hear from qualified and also sometimes not so qualified, like myself, lecturers, the repeatedly instructions? Why have we not yet caught fire in Krishna consciousness? Could there be a reason? My dear devotees, if you listen very carefully to what happened with Dhritarashtra and why he this time was able to get out of the illusory net in which he had been caught, you might find an answer what is necessary for you in order to transform while you hear these instructions. Let me be very clear. Dhritarashtra. You know, Krishna had personally gone to Dhritarashtra. He had tried to enlighten him. However, Dhritarashtra could not be benefited even by Krishna's instructions. He says so in the Mahabharata. He said, Vasudev, when you are there, yes, I can see everything. Although I'm blind, your instructions are like a light in my darkness, but the moment, like a flash of light in my darkness, but the moment you are gone, my enlightenment is also gone. Yesterday we said we are all a little like Vidura. We come to a lecture, we are maybe inspired, or we come to Vrindavan, but then when we are not there, everything is gone and back to normal. We are anxious, we are stressed, we are envious, we are insecure, and we have our little family dramas and our little personal dramas again. Listen very carefully, or as the Englishman in the harbor of London would say, listen up. So, Vidura was returning from his pilgrimage. He is described in Bhagavatam as Jataika Bhakti Govinda. That means he was established in the transcendental loving service of the Lord Krishna, Govinda. The name Govinda is used. Vidura was a devotee of Govinda because Govinda means someone who satisfies his devotees in all respects. He had no problems, Vidura. He had no concerns. He was firmly established in his relationship with Lord Govinda Krishna, who is also known as Govinda, the one who satisfies devotees. So when he came back to the palace, everyone was still under the shock of this Kurukshetra battle, which took the life of millions. All the inhabitants of the palace, like the Pandavas and the royal, they were now the royal family, and all their assistants, ministers, they rushed out and they greeted him with great delight. The Sanskrit word is prahashena. Harsha means a smile, but pra means that they smile like anything. Vidura, you have come. They looked as if the life had returned back to their body after the traumatic experience of this fratricidal war. They were practically so despondent and desperate, even though they lived, that they looked like walking dead people. But when Vidura came, they were so excited. They rushed forward. Some embraced Vidura, others paid their obeisances. And when Vidura had eaten a little and rested a little, he immediately went to the place where Dhritarashtra lived. Remember, Yudhishthira had given Dhritarashtra a small little palace on his own. Dhritarashtra was sitting in this palace. Was he happy? No, he was. He was full of grudges. Do you know the word grudge in your home language? What? Izamiran. I am not sure. Izamiran? Zamiran. Good. Zamiran. That sounds better. They were full of grudges. He was full of grudges. In other words, he could not forgive. He kept in his mind that there's one person, especially amongst the Pandavas, he was very hateful of. Do you remember? Bhima. Why? He has killed all his 100 sons. And one of them, he had beaten him down on the ground. Then he had taken his hand, he had dug with his hand under the rib cage, taken out the heart, while Dushasana was screaming in pain, and he had taken the heart and drunken the blood. Hare Krishna. We hear from Madhvacharya and says, Bhima didn't drink the blood. He just poured the blood next to his mouth, but it looked for everyone as if he had drunken the blood of a living heart. I think Dhritarashtra saw this in his daily nightmares, you know, this scene, and he was fearful. He was he could not really move his body, and he was absolutely there in one mentality: I'm a victim. I was born blind. I could not see. I could not. And he was really cooking in his own fat, and so on. So Vidura comes to his brother. He's an older brother, and he starts to preach to him. And my dear devotees, if you ever want to hear strong preaching, then fasten your seatbelt now. We will start. Dhritarashtra, said Vidura, can't you see time or kala has approached you? This time is Bhagavan. You must surrender now your dear life. You have no choice. Kala is standing before you. Look at your body. It is overtaken by invalidity. Invalidity means old age. Already you were blind all your life, but now you're even hard of hearing. Your memory is shortened. You forget everything. Your intelligence is disturbed. Your teeth are loose. Your liver is defective. And when you cough up mucus. But still you cling on to your degraded life. You subsist on the charity of those who you tried to kill by setting fire on their house, by poisoning them. You insulted their wife. You usurped, means you stole, their kingdom. And then Vidura lashed out for the sting. It is said the sadhu's words are like a razor blade, but their heart is like butter. The words of a politician are like butter, but their hearts are like a razor blade. No? The sadhu's words sometimes sting like the thorns of a rose. And their words act like lightning. This is some saying is there. So now Vidura goes for, in English language you would say, for the kill. He says, alas! Alas means in your language, oh vaya! You live like a household dog, a griha palavat, and you're eating the remnants of food given to you by Bhima. Dhritarashtra, when he heard this, well, he's not an ordinary person. He didn't react like an ordinary person. He became very sober. Yes, it is a fact. Then Vidura said, leave immediately for the north. My dear devotees, sometimes these words are necessary to wake us up. As we heard yesterday, we all have a bit of Vidura in us. You know, the very spiritually alert, very good people who want to move with the plan of the Lord. But we also have a bit of Dhritarashtra in us. Remember, Dhrita means to hold on. And, you know, we are cling, we are attached to our plans, and we are not so flexible, and so on. We all have the victim mentality sometimes. We are immovable, we are fearful, we are full of grudges and attachment. But yes, luckily, we have also a bit of Vidura in us. We are grateful, we are fearless to move on with Krishna's plan, surrendered, we are full of forgiveness and openness. Yes. So, but to bring out the Vidura in us, sometimes strong words are necessary. Therefore, never ever hold grudges to those devotees who sometimes use strong words to trigger transformation in you. When I was younger, I heard a story of a greedy man. This greedy man was the most greedy man in the village. He had become also the most fat man in the village. He must have looked like Obelix or something, you know. So one, the village in which he lived had one mango tree, and the mango fruits were common property. In other words, all the villagers, it was a small place, were enjoying the harvest of the mango. Now, one mango season, when the mangoes were ripe, the greedy man looked at the mango tree and he saw in the top of the tree a very full and ripe mango. It was the best mango of all the tree. So he went up in the tree because he was greedy, to pick this mango and enjoy it for himself. He was not thinking of the other villagers and so on. So, but he only managed to climb up, take the mango, and he was not able to climb down any longer. I, as a child, was often in this situation. I knew how to climb up a tree, but I would have to be saved by the fire brigade multiple times because I didn't know how to get down. It's scary when you're up there, when you look down, you lose it, you know. But when you go up, you only look up and you don't see the ground any longer. So you are more bold when you go up, but when you go down, you go, oh, you get this high altitude psychological fear, you know. So he couldn't climb down. And he screamed, "Help, help, help!" And the villagers came and saw the situation. The greedy man had tried to pick the best mango for himself. But they were nice people. They said, "It's easy, it's easy, you can make it. You went up, you can also come down. Just take the left foot, go to the left, take the right foot, and you see there's this branch. Take support from the branch. Don't forget to hold there." But the village, the fat man was stuck. He couldn't move. Finally, a sadhu came by. Sadhu looked at the situation and saved the man. But how? Well, he took a stone and he threw it. Patch! The fat man said, "Why are you doing this? I'm already falling down without your stone throwing. Don't throw stones at me, please. The sadhu took another stone. Patsh! Went on the belly. The greedy man was now really becoming, something moved in his psychology. Don't do this again, otherwise I will come down. The sadhu took a third stone. Patsh! This is enough! You are not a real sadhu! And the fat man went down, and when he was down, everyone applauded to him. Wow, you're alive! You've come down! Where's that old man? Said the greedy man. The sadhu had already moved on. He had gone somewhere else. But the people said, you should not be angry at him. You should be grateful with him. You should give him the mango, in fact, which you have taken. And the greedy man only then understood. Sometimes a sadhu, a devotee, is like this. He uses a strong expression, like in this case, throwing a stone, in order to shift the consciousness, to trigger transformation. It's necessary. And my dear devotees, there is no greater changing agent than a sadhu who believes in you and who is kind to you, who tells you the truth. This, of course, only works when you are willing to listen to him. Therefore, I keep on repeating, young devotees, if you choose your spiritual master, take enough time. Take the time you need so that you can trust him entirely. Because only when there is a relationship of trust can the sadhu's words be accepted by you. If there is no relationship of trust, if there is no deeply formed relationship, you will take the words, the good intentioned words of the sadhu as an offense. Like this greedy man who, you know, could not see that the sadhu was shifting his consciousness by his admittingly unconventional ways, but he was successful. He saved the life of this man who otherwise would have fallen from the tree and broken his neck. So this is very important, that there is a loving, trusting relationship so that you can take the words. And then when that is there, there is no greater changing agent than a sadhu who believes in you. When I was in Radhadesh, we had a wonderful day of remembering Prabhupada's installation of the Jagannath deities in Amsterdam. Those of us who were there will never forget this, because, you know, we had invited the TV for a grand opening of Jagannath's festival, or Jagannath's coming to Amsterdam. So you can imagine the cameras were there. There were a few things which did not work well in the preparation of the installation, but I save you the time. I won't be able to tell the whole story now here. One day we should all relish this story. But okay, the altar went. The deities, the curtain was still closed, and the deities were brought to the altar. But devotees had only made an altar big enough for two. The devotees knew Radha Krishna. And who else is two? Nitai. They didn't know three. They were very, very young and inexperienced. So the devotees came back to Prabhupada, you only have an altar for two, not for three deities. And there were so many things which went wrong. I mean, so many things. And this was Ina. Prabhupada became just so, he started to chastise us. It was so heavy. I don't even know what he said. He said things, Krishna didn't give me first class men and so on. But it was much, much more intense. It was so intense, my dear devotees. I was a fighter before I came to Krishna consciousness, but I gave that up and have become quite, I don't like conflict any longer. So I ran into the kitchen and was hiding behind the huge pots because it was just too heavy. Prabhupada was just, those of us who saw Prabhupada chastising his disciples for good reasons, they know you wouldn't want to be close. You know, it was so heavy. He was the perfect teacher. But we all loved him so much and we had trust in him that we were trembling, we were crying. Prabhupada was not satisfied with us. And someone said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, the TV is here. It's all on TV. Prabhupada, I don't care. He didn't say, I don't care. He just didn't care. He wanted to instruct his disciples. That's why he was there. He was their spiritual master. They were nonsense, so they needed to hear this and needed to be corrected. And we love Prabhupada because of that. He was not for likes on Facebook. He did not go for that. He was. But we all could trust him because we had developed a relationship of service. We read his books. We read every day his letters. In our temple, we always got a stack of the letters which Prabhupada got photocopied. We were in tune and therefore we could take it. Nowadays, not all the disciples of the respective spiritual masters have gone through the right process and they need to work on their faith a little bit more by hearing from their spiritual masters. Anyways, so Dhritarashtra was now ready. He applied one method, let us remember this here, Pragya Shakshu. Shakshu means eyes and Pragya means introspective knowledge. Dhritarashtra sat and he turned his whole attention into thinking about the words of Vidura, and he could see, although these words were stinging like the thorns of a rose, although the words were cutting like a razor, they were true and they were meant to free him from his entanglement. So he broke at once the strong network of familial affection. That was his main problem. He was always favoring his rascal sons, no? He broke at once the strong network of familial affection by his resolute determination and left north. He went north to a river, I have forgotten the name, where he engaged in the processes of the Ashtanga Yoga process, you know. And he, at the end, became entirely peaceful all his grudges, all his victim mentality, all his fearfulness left him. He was totally purified. He took, although he was old, 3 baths in that sacred river a day, and he was meditating a lot. And the text says he became Narottam, the best of devotees. Did he go back to Did he go back to Godhead? No, he achieved, but he achieved liberation. The acharyas explained, because he had been so offensive towards the pure devotees, the Pandavas, and he had not taken the time to make amends. You know, it says he left immediately. So he, because of the Vaishnava apparat he had committed, he didn't go to Krishna, but he attained a liberation from all miseries of material life. So, I would like to ask now the question. We also have heard instructions, and some of you have heard intense instructions, no? You have been in lectures where it was boiling, the atmosphere. We have your father, Nima, whoa, intense instructions he has given. Could you, but maybe not all the instructions have fallen on fertile ground. Maybe we have not been changed by all these instructions. Maybe our wood was wet, and therefore the spark of knowledge has not kindled it. What was different in Dhritarashtra's case? He had heard so many instructions, but this time it worked. What was different? Well, one thing was his attachment had been removed. In the battle of Kurukshetra, he lost everything. Krishna says when he favors a devotee, yasyaham anugrinami, he takes away their attachments. Has any one of you experienced this? I think we have. I see a few devotees who have lost a lot of Lakshmi. I see a few of you who have lost their good reputation because they did something which is stored in the collective memory of ISKCON. I see some of you who have grown older and who have seen disease and disappointment. For spiritual life, it can be good if you are not protesting against it. For spiritual life, it could be that Krishna takes away everything so that you can finally surrender. Srila Prabhupada spoke about this, remember? He said Krishna was very, very merciful to me. He, you know, his wife was not cooperative with him, and this all Prabhupada thought this was good for his spiritual development. I mean, it's nice to have harmonious grihastha relationships. It's not about this, you know, that and so on. So Dhritarashtra's attachment had been removed, so therefore he could listen better. There was a second thing. Dhritarashtra had become materially exhausted. That means he had no more false hopes. He had seen the reality of life, and he had seen enough, you know.
Svamakinchana Gocharam. The Bhagavatam says when you become akinchana, you are no longer in so much illusion and so on. This happens when you are becoming older, my dear devotees. I know when I was so young, as most of you are, Hare Krishna. But now I'm older, I know. And now we all enter into the decade of tears. There will be death in our movement. Many older devotees will die. One of the older devotees who's very dear to all of our hearts has gone to Vrindavan with a no return ticket. You know of whom I'm speaking? His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj. No return. One way ticket. Yes. Dhritarashtra felt also the urgency of death. So spiritual instructions work when there are a few factors that work. The most important factor, I would say, is a loving and trusting relationship to the one who gives you instructions. When you do not have love and trust to that one, by one person, it can be several persons, you will not really take it to heart what they say. So, but then in Dhritarashtra's case, I would say, well, he also had trust in Vidura. He knew Vidura is his saintly brother, but his attachment had been removed. He had become materially exhausted, no more false hopes. And third, the urgency of death was there. Oops, let me see. Oh. So therefore, it was possible for him to move on to the north. My dear devotees, the point here is spiritual instructions. They can give you the benefit of transformation. Hare Krishna. I'm looking at the time and I'm alarmed. I have lots of more material for this lecture, but I don't want to go over the time because then we can also not listen so much. How much can we absorb? And so on. I better stop here and see if there are any questions. Prema Mukti. We have a microphone for you, no? Oh, no? That's the ear, yes. Krishna, Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, thank you for these important instructions. Well, and I wanted to ask you, how can we approach a spiritual guide or our Shiksha or Diksha and ask for such instruction, because they were being so fried with giving instructions to unqualified disciples that they don't want to do it anymore. I have seen that. So how to approach honestly and for such a guidance in such moments?
I think when those who are able to give us spiritual instruction and who are affectionate to us, they look really for a few qualities before they start. There are qualities of a sincere disciple and there are qualities of a disciple who tries to become sincere in the future. In the Bhagavatam, in the Gita, it is said there are three qualities of a sincere disciple. One is he is submissive. The second is he
perform service. He does regular devotional service. And the third is, he is inquisitive. He wants to know. So when spiritual teachers see the three qualities, submissive, a service attitude, and inquisitiveness, then they give very happily all required instructions on the spiritual path. But when we are lacking in these qualities, they will give us encouraging words and encouraging smiles to help us. Good. Any other question is there? You have a question? Your good name again? I forgot.
Chirag.
Yes.
Maharaj, I have a question. Like, Dhritarashtra had something instigated, like he lost all his attachment, then he moved on. But us who are dwindling between material life and one foot in material life, one foot in spiritual life, what will instigate us to move properly to spiritual direction, not just stay in the material path?
Yes. Prabhupada once said, by hearing a lot, you become nirmala, means free from internal obstacles or contaminations. Yesterday I spoke to a wonderful devotee who said that sometimes he makes hearing marathons. He listens for 12 hours a day. And that always has a wonderful example. This devotee, I know him, he is a wonderful devotee because it works. By hearing you become nirmala. In Hindi there is a soap called nirmala, no pollution. But the soap will not work in the heart. It may work on the body, I don't know, I've never tried it. But hearing is that soap which purifies the heart. I'm looking for something here. Hopefully I have it here. Ah, Krishna. Yes. There are four qualities you should learn if you want to absorb spiritual instructions or hear spiritual things. You should hear like a chataka, a swan, a parrot, and a fish. Wow! You might say, how does a chataka hear? What is the quality of the chataka? Do you remember? They look like sparrows. They are little birds. And they take water, they fly and take water directly from the cloud. No secondary sources of water, like rivers or pools or ponds. They take directly from the cloud. So I think this is one quality of hearing. We want to hear directly from the Bhagavatam. There are Bhagavad Gita or Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's so many books I know. Most of them are very useful, but we need to also go like a chataka to the primary sources. Then we need to hear like swans. Swans can expertly extract milk from mixed fluid. Like when milk is mixed with water, they can sorry, but that's how it goes. They just take the milk out and leave the water. So when you hear, you need to understand what is essential and what is not. So many times devotees are stuck with not so essential subjects in Krishna consciousness. Then they need to hear like parrots. What is a parrot? He can repeat exactly the way you said it. So in other words, they need to grasp a lesson and then share it. And they should be like fishes in the Bhagavatam class. What's the fish? Well, the fish sits and he looks without blinking an eyelid. He doesn't even have an eyelid. So you need to also be focused and give rapt attention in the same way. I thought that's nice to hear these other four qualities of the good listener. But don't worry, you know, don't worry. You are a young student and you are learning in the university to become fit for life, and you will most probably have a family and go earn a Lakshmi, a money for the maintenance of the family. That is not a disqualification at all. In fact, it may sometimes be a qualification that you are responsible and you are systematic and you can go forward, you're not a lazy man, and so on. But keep the goal in front of your eyes, Krishna, and that happens by listening regularly. Otherwise, you know, the free time will be occupied with other things that are not Krishna conscious. Mm-hmm. Good. Any other question? Yes? Let me see. I can't see. Oh, Daya Chandika. Hare Krishna. Nice to see. I didn't know. You were here all the time?
No, I just came this morning.
Just came. Yes. See. Yes, yes. Then I...
And thank you for amazing seminar. I was listening on YouTube because it's really an eye-opening for myself, for my life. But still, I want to ask, because once I read that there was a question, who wants changes? And everybody raised their hands. And then was the question, who wants to change? And no one raised their hand.
Wonderful. Who wants changes? Everyone was raising their hands. And then the next question was, who wants to change?
Yes, something like that. So the question here would be, why is so hard to change, or is it the fear or so many material desires? Because in the example of Dhritarashtra, I can recognize, or maybe I'm wrong, that he came to the bottom line of his life. So do we need to fall in the ground that we will make a change? Why does not happen before, when, like now, for example? Because I know I have so many grudges, maybe, or anger and everything, but still, I'm still where I am, stuck in my mind, mental level.
Coming to the bottom line, how nice you said, is not necessarily the qualification that makes you capable to absorb spiritual instructions. No, it's not. It may sometimes, in some cases, help to disillusion you about the material life, but if you don't have something positive in front of your eyes, something you have faith in, something that enthuses you, then coming to the bottom line will only bring you into the Rajasic zone, the zone of crisis. You know, we are in three zones, and transformation is best possible in the last one. We are either in Tamagun, where we are just, let us say, dumb and dull, and we don't even notice anything any longer because we are so covered. Then from Tamagun we move into crisis zone. Oh no, wow, now I really need to get up. Isn't it in the morning sometimes the alarm clock goes and we are so out, we just don't hear it. And then the sunlight is in our room and we go like, ah, oh no,
bang, we jump out of the bed, we are jumping into the shower. It takes us only 2.5 seconds to be fully showered. And then we rush to wherever we have to go, you know, and we arrive. This is what happens when you are getting misery. You're still in tamā, and misery sometimes kicks you so hard that you get into the crisis zone. But real transformation can be done only in sattva, the zone where you are, let us say, peaceful, where you are introspective, where you can have prajna, this introspective knowledge. Only in sattva. Or, Audaya Chandika, listen to this. When you become so much happy with Krishna, then you transform also. When you fall in love with Krishna, we know there's no greater feeling that enables transformation than developing genuine affection. Then we change many things in our life, also in our spiritual life, or especially in our spiritual life. So yes, suffering can help us. It is explained that due to suffering, many people can come to spiritual life. Also Krishna explains this, but it doesn't keep us there. We need to develop love for Krishna, or attraction to Krishna, or taste, or gratitude, and so on. You know, Audaya Chandika, I'm now practicing longer than, more than 50 years, maybe 51 years, Krishna consciousness. I never thought I would become 70 years old, because I lived very dangerous when I was before Krishna consciousness. Thought I will die with 30 or so. Now I'm approaching 70. I'm also coughing mucus, the body, sometimes when there's AC, and so on. And I have realized something. I can see that my own strength is limited. Now old age comes, the body will be more tired. The mind forgets many times. Today I could not remember the Sri Krishna Chaitanya, not even the first line I could remember. I could sing it in the night. You could wake me up and I could sing it by heart. My memory was so good. Now it goes. I notice, I visited my father. He is 97 years old. Only 3, 4, 5 days ago, before I came to Ljubljana, and I see 97. He forgets things. In one talk, he asked me, "So, where are you going next?" And I said already 5 times Ljubljana. No, I don't say it. You want to be polite, you know. And I know what is coming. Maybe, or hopefully not so much, because he didn't eat prasadam all his life. I mean, he ate different things. He was also not a vegetarian, or is not a vegetarian, and so on. So, but I know it is coming. And do you know what, Audaya Chandika? I remember the words of Kadambakarana Maharaj when I asked him, "So how do you feel with only a few months left?" And he said, "Maharaj, I have faith in Krishna's mercy. Krishna will come. Krishna will not forget me. Krishna will be there." And you know, when someone who is that close says it makes an impact. And he said, "Maharaj, for me, death is like a door. I'm not afraid." So what I want to say
is the kripa or the mercy of Krishna is most properly the most important factor in our transformation. And we had one of the classes was reserved for only that, in a little back. I don't know. I think it was the second in this series. Mm-hmm. Good. Now I'm looking at the time. It's right before me here. I have successfully ignored it up till now, but I cannot ignore it any longer. It is so clear. I thank you very much. I'm hopeful to see you in the evening again when we have another exciting session, a very exciting session. I'm still thinking, I have become who you are. I think I will give that transformation a class. That will be very good. I have the Bhakti community as a part of our transformation. These are still coming. Yes, not at the end, Prabhu. And I have From Lust to Love. I have that also, a session on that subject. Really serious subjects, as you can see. Good. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.